I want to take a look at two items on the screen, two things, two vehicles, if you will. Go ahead. Yeah, there we go. So as you see these two vehicles, one is an ambulance, of course, on the left. And on the right, it's kind of fuzzy and you can't really see it very well, but it's a tour bus. All right. And then behind the tour bus is the beautiful Caribbean Sea. And in the back of that is a nice cruise ship, right? And so let's try not to get caught up in the memories or the thoughts that we wish we were there on that tour bus this morning as we see the snow flying and the weather is cold. And we all wish that we were on that tour bus in the Bahamas somewhere. But I want to take a look at these two vehicles. One's an ambulance and one's like a resort tour bus. You know, it's that bus that you get on after the airport, and it's like, take me to the beach. Take me to my resort. And I want to compare these two vehicles, and I want to ask you the question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about this. What do you think represents Jesus the most? Which one of these vehicles would you think would represent Jesus? Think about it. The tour bus or that bus you get on and he takes you to this resort, or do you think Jesus would look more like an ambulance where someone is hurt and sick and dying, and then that Jesus would be that ambulance taking you to the hospital to get better? Well, I don't know why I've had you guys decide to think about that, but I wanted to get your minds thinking about Jesus this morning, because that's truly the focus of what I want to talk about. But one hand, since Jesus comes to rescue us from our sins and eternal death, you'd say that Jesus would be more like an ambulance, right? Jesus could saves us and rescues us, and yet another thought is that Jesus didn't just come to patch us up before dropping us off back into our humdrum lives. He didn't just come to rescue us. But I want us to consider that Jesus is like that resort tour bus, that he's coming again to take us to a wonderful place called heaven. He's coming again to take us and escorting us to a beautiful resort in the sky, so to speak. He's coming again to a wonderful place so that you could say he's more like that tour bus to the Caribbean resort. Well, all that I had to say is really not biblical, because you can have your arguments for either one. What is Jesus like? It was just a simple illustration, because I want to talk about a passage of Scripture in the book of Isaiah today that he wants to impress upon us that the second truth, that the advent or the coming of Jesus, means the advent of Eden. Now, as we celebrate the Advent wreath and we think of this time of Advent together, we realize that the first Advent was before Christ came to earth. And the second Advent now is in the time in which we share now. And so as we think of this as the second Advent, as that second time in history where we are waiting for Jesus to come again, to usher us into, maybe that as a resort tour bus, to usher us into that beautiful resort in the sky called heaven. The beautiful eternal rest that you and I have to look forward to if you call yourself a Christian. If you have relied upon Jesus as your Lord, as your Savior, as the one that you serve, Jesus can look like that beautiful resort tour bus, because he's coming again to take us to that wonderful place. And so I want to take a look at Isaiah chapter 11, if we can. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. This is so cool. I love reading prophecy scripture. This is a prophecy in the Old Testament. This is the books written before Jesus even came here. In fact, 700 years before the time of Christ. 700 years there was a time in history where people were brutally beating one another. There was times where sin was so rampant, the earth was absolutely in destruction. Sin abounded left and right. the rich took advantage of the poor. You see, it was such a horrible, horrible time in history. And this is the point in where Isaiah was teaching and prophesying. Isaiah chapter 11. Let's read it. Verse 1 through 10. Verse 1, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. Verse 4, but with righteousness, go back to verse, there you go. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. He with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Verse 5, righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child would lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. Verse 9, they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, in that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. You see, this is a passage of Scripture. Again, like I said, this passage was written 700 years before Christ came to the earth. And I want to go back, Jack, if we go to verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Now, as you know, you may know if you're a Bible scholar, if you know your Bible, Jesse was King David's father. King David was one of the greatest kings in all of history. He was a fantastic king. He was the Bible talks of David as a man after God's own heart. And the stump of Jesse, I love this word picture of stump. What does a stump represent? Something that's been cut down, a tree. Something that is dead. Something that has absolutely been destroyed. And so as Isaiah is writing these word pictures, he's talking about the stump of Jesse. See, if you look back in history, you see that there's been nothing for the longest of times. There's been death. There's been destruction. There's been things cut down, completely destroyed. And Isaiah is calling out Jesse and comparing him to a stump. And yet, a shoot, what is a shoot? You all know what a shoot is. When you see I've got stumps at home in our woods, and I know that what happens is if you cut down a tree, years and years later, there's some shoots that kind of pop out, some new growth, some things that are taking place, and that it regenerates itself. And so the shoot, lowercase s, by the way, the shoot is David. Okay? The shoot is King David. The shoot of Jesse will come up from the stump, from his roots, from the shoot's roots, a branch, capital B, okay, will bear fruit. This is Jesus. You see, Isaiah is prophesying years and years and years before Jesus would come that David would first come as a small little shoot, but one from the shoot will come then as a branch, and that branch bears fruit. And so I wanted you to catch that, because we could easily read over things in Scripture that were like, okay, he's using a word picture of the stump and some growth and some trees, but you understand that there's something significant here, that we are not talking about King David here. We're talking about Jesus. And as you follow in Matthew, the first parts of Matthew, it talks about, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. See, those passages of Scripture are in there for a reason, to show the line from David all the way to Jesus. And so understanding that the prophet Isaiah knew exactly what he was talking about. That's pretty cool. At least it's pretty cool to me. 700 years beforehand, things were desolate. There were stumps all over the place, so to speak. And a shoot comes up, King David. And out of that Davidic line comes Jesus, which is the branch. And then it goes on to talk about this branch. See, it's a beautiful thing. This passage can be sometimes called the peaceable kingdom. We think of how the Spirit of the Lord will rest on this branch, which is Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the knowledge. Verse 3, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Verse 4, with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will. You see, Isaiah is beautifully describing the Messiah. But then in verse 6, it talks about how the wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion, the yearling, they'll be together. Did you catch all that weird, interesting dialogue that Isaiah is describing? I mean, he was talking about little children putting their hands in a snake's pit and not getting bitten. I think that's pretty crazy. But you see, what Jesus is going to bring forth in the second advent is peace. And peace not only for us, but peace for all of creation. And so as I mentioned earlier, that we are in that Advent time, we are always in that Advent time, the Advent of Eden. And you think about what Eden represented, the Garden of Eden, right? Where God created man, created woman, Adam and Eve. Things were absolutely peaceful. Things were peaceful. I always thought, even earlier on as a kid and in my young adult life, I really thought that God created things the way they are now. And did you know that that's not the truth? Like, I always thought that, you know, wolves were always chasing deer. That's not the case. I always thought lions always ate everything in their way. That's not the case. If you were to go back to the Garden of Eden, everything was peaceful. Everything was perfect. The lion, it talked about how the lion, I think it was, will eat straw like the ox. You see, the lion will no longer have that desire to kill and to eat flesh. You see, that's peace. And so in this passage of Scripture, which is in fact prophecy, we are in that second advent and we await Eden again. We look to Jesus. We look for that Prince of Peace to come once again to bring us peace. Now, the word peace is really interesting for me because it is a really churchy word that when I grew up in my young years as a Lutheran, and that word peace was always thrown around, you know, peace to you or peace be with you, and that word peace was really, I never really understood it. I always thought, oh, it's just a churchy word that everybody throws around. You find a peace in the Bible all the time. But until I became a young man, until I became an adult, I really didn't realize what peace was until I experienced it in my life. You see, what true peace is understanding and gaining this wonderful understanding that everything is good, everything is okay, that God has it under control. And the opposite of that is, the opposite of peace is discord, is chaos. And I'm telling you what, I really think there are people in life, now hear me out, you may be one of them. I really think there are people in life that love chaos. I really do. I think they absolutely love chaos. They live for it. They have to stir something up. They're thinking, you know, things are just going way too well. So let me just gossip about somebody. Let me just stir the pot a little bit. Let me just poke a spoon at a badger. Let me just poke a stick at a hornet's nest. Whatever cliche you want to find, people love chaos, you would think. We were sitting with a non-believer the other night. I'll make sure they're not in here today before I talk about them. No, we were sitting with a non-believer the other day, and we were talking about the Christmas season, of course, and kind of chit-chatting around and talking about really what's going on in their lives, and And they were just simply saying, this time of year is absolutely insane. I wish we could just fast forward the whole thing. This time of year is just ridiculous. I mean, and of course, I won't get into it, but their job is a job that has a lot to do with the seasonal things. And so they simply were just like literally saying, I just wish I could fast forward and sleep through the whole thing and then be on the other side of it. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, man, this is the epitome. This is a person that has no peace in their life. There is no peace. And this person gets up in the morning and literally just wants to go right back to bed because there's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing about life that brings them joy. It's chaos. It's absolute mess. And so when we think of God's peace, the best way to feel God's peace is to truly practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're an old timer in here today, but I used to talk to an old timer before and when I was a kid, and this person always said, you gotta practice the presence. Maybe you heard that before. You gotta practice the presence. What does that mean? To practice the presence, it's to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit and to practice it. And to practice the presence, to be in your word daily, is to be in prayer, is to be in fellowship with the Spirit on a regular basis. And to practice the presence, it has a connotation of that you have to work at it. You got to work at it. You got to make it intentional. You've got to be intentional to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit. That'll bring you peace in the midst of your life of chaos. So when we practice the presence of God, we can feel His peace within us. We can experience God's presence through prayer, through Bible study, through meditation. Yes, I said meditation. Get rid of all the distraction. And I'm not talking about that yoga garbage. You know, don't get me started on that yoga stuff. I mean, it's, you know, the exercise is the poses of in yoga, but you got to be careful, church. You got to be careful. Yoga was absolutely birthed in Eastern religion. And let's be careful here. Let's use the mind of Christ. We got to be careful here. See, meditation is something that God had said it's okay to do, but then Satan came in and said, meditate, meditate, free your mind so that the demons can come in. So we as Christians need to meditate on holiness, on God's word, on righteousness, renewing our minds, right, as the word says. So we do it the correct way. We meditate. We practice the presence. So that means turning your phone off. That means turning life off. That means meditating, getting quiet before God, and listening. Listening. That's where the peace of God, that's where you'll find it. And so when we practice the presence of God, we can feel His peace within us. We are in the advent of Eden, ladies and gentlemen. The advent of Eden. We look forward to the day where Jesus comes again and He will deliver us peace. And so God's peace can be shared with others by us as well. God's peace can be shared with others by us as well. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's saying, I'm not going to bring my chaos to your world. I'm not going to bring my attitude into the situation. I'm going to be a peacemaker here. Jesus said, we've got to be peacemakers. Romans, the 15th chapter, states that we're to live in harmony with each other. That can be hard. To live in harmony with one another. That's saying, I don't have to be right. If I'm in a disagreement with you and it gets heated and the arguments start, you know what? Hey, I'm going to live in harmony. I want peace. You know, it's an okay thing to say, you know what? I desire peace in the situation. The family or the marriage is a really, really good example. My wife's a great at peacemaking. You know, she has to patch things up between us, and she's really good when she admits she's wrong. You know, she's awesome. But in a marriage, isn't that the same thing? It's like you have to keep the peace together. You have to be willing not to be right all the time. You have to be willing just to say, I'm sorry, and I'd rather have peace in our household. I'd rather have peace than this chaos. I hope you and your household, hope you and your marriage, I hope it's not chaotic. I mean, for those of you who've lived in a chaotic marriage, maybe you've gone through something and it's ugly. It's ugly. I mean, Rachel and I will have a disagreement, we'll have an argument, and we're just like, we both have realized that, 21 years of marriage, that let's just shut up, right? Let's just get over it. It's not worth arguing. See, peace is so valuable in a marriage. It's so valuable. And I pray that you have the peace of Christ in your marriage, because there's nothing greater than having the peace of Christ in your marriage. And for those of you who are single, those of you who are dating, do not be yoked with an unbeliever. That's why, because guess what? Chaos will reign in your relationship. When one's a Christian, one's not. When your spouse despises the Lord and everything that you have, that you're doing, there is chaos in the marriage, in the relationship. That's why you're not to be yoked with unbelievers, because chaos will reign in your lives. And you try to bandage it. You try to patch it up. You go to counseling. No. If you're unequally yoked, if you both do not share the peace of Christ, it's chaos. And so for those of you who are dating, those of you who are not married, I'd encourage you, I don't care how good looking they are. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how sweet they are to you. Your marriage, if you do not have Christ as the center of your marriage will be chaotic. And so we seek peace, the peace of Jesus Christ. And so today, as we talk about what Jesus brings, as we think of Advent, we are in the second advent of Christ. We are awaiting a long, long time for God to bring us peace again. And so for those of you today who don't have peace in your heart, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's in just simply in your life, maybe it's in your workplace, whatever it is, I encourage you to seek Jesus this Christmas season. Because, I mean, it's cliche, but he is the answer. He is the answer. Because peace is something that you can't fabricate. Can I say that again? That was good. Thanks, Lord. Peace is something that you can't fabricate, right? I mean, that's good. You can't make that junk up. You cannot create peace in your life. You can't buy it. You can't make it. You can't earn it. Peace comes with the Holy Spirit power through the blood of Jesus, and that's it. So maybe you are here today, you're feeling like, holy cow, I'm just in absolute chaos in my life. I want you to seek after God's peace plan. God's peace plan is Jesus Christ, and we are living and we exist in the second advent, and we look for that second Eden to come. As Isaiah says, he says, this beautiful thing, the lion will hang out with the lamb and not decide to eat it. There will be peace again. And yet I encourage you, as we are Christians, as you take upon Christ in your life, you can experience that peace now here on the earth. Now, we can't do anything about a fallen world that we live in. We can't do anything about that. There's sin. There's sin everywhere. You stick your hand in a den or a nest of vipers, they will bite you and kill you. That's the law of the sinful nature that we live in today. But you can experience the peace of Christ in your life, in your heart, on a personal level. You can experience that peace of Christ in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family, right now, right today. This is all possible because a root has grown up out of the stump of Jesse, just as God said it would. You see, the fun part of reading scripture in the Old Testament is that we know what happens. 700 years ago, when Isaiah wrote that, he was writing specifics that the stump of Jesse, there would be a shoot, and that out of that shoot, a root would take place. God said it would happen, and Jesus came on that first Christmas morning. And Jesus will return again to bring us perfect peace. And so that perfect peace brings us hope in heaven. So you may be living among chaos. You can't do anything about your boss. You can't do anything about your coworkers. You can't do anything about sticking your hand in a den of vipers and they bite you. You can't do anything about that. But you know what? You can do something about this inside. You can do something about you today. Accepting the peace of Jesus to come in and reign. And it's like, God, I need you. Simply, I need you. Invite the band to come on up, and we're going to sing a song that kind of describes this. And I want you, during this next song, I want you to kind of really search your heart to see if you are a chaotic person. Maybe your lives are chaotic right now. Maybe you are in a situation that is just absolutely, absolutely desolate. Maybe there's something wrestling in your personal life. Maybe you're wrestling something with a sin, maybe a secret sin of sorts that you're just, it's bringing you chaos. I don't know. But catch the message today. Catch what God is trying to speak to us. He's trying to speak to me is that his perfect peace is on its way. And yet you can experience it right now. The peace that passes all understanding, right? You've heard that before. We don't get it. We don't understand it. You can't fabricate it. It's the peace of Christ that comes in and heals us and quickens us, loves us, cares for us. And he loves you today. I think we can remain seated at this point. And I want us just to reflect in this song. I mean, it's not, you can stand, you can sit, I don't care what you do, but I want us to seek after peace today, all right? And that is going to be different for the majority of us. It's just going to be different. And so I want you to do business with God right where you're at. Just kind of pray, seek his face. If you have to ask for forgiveness, that'd be a great time to do it. If you have to confess your sin and say, God, I've been harboring this dissension. I've not been peaceful. This would be a great time to confess your sin. And so as we look toward that second advent, that second Eden, we have this opportunity today to seek peace. So as the band sings, let's let God's spirit take over and let's just worship.